All right. Well, it's good to be here. Good to be here this morning. And it's still morning. Yep. And it is not snowing. Can we say praise the Lord? No. Can we all say praise the Lord? It's not snowing. That is really good. So if you guys have 3 days of summer, then in Buffalo, we probably have four and a half, maybe five days of summer. And so it's great to spend a day and a half of our summer together. Amen? It's really great. I'm honored of the Lord to be here. We just thank God for you, for your pastoral team, your staff, and for each of you. It's just, it's a thrill. It's a thrill to be back. And it's just as great a thrill not to have to run out and get in the car and try to beat a snowstorm home. But anyway, I digress. It is good. There's a lot of things stirring in my heart, and so I want to get going. I want to honor the time because there's some things we want to do after. But Scott opened the service. He made reference to a passage that I love, Romans chapter 12. And verse number 3, in that verse, I think it's towards the end of the verse, the B part of the verse, the Apostle Paul says that God has given to every man the measure of faith. God has given to every man the measure of faith. Will you just say, repeat, I have a measure of faith? Yeah. Now, can everybody say it? You know, will everybody say it this time? I have... Oh, Lord, help us, Lord, help us. Okay, yeah. The thing that I love about faith, you know, first God says, you know, without it, it's impossible to please me. That's what, you know, without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? Without it, you cannot please him. But with it, and when we engage it, when we use it, God also says that, you know, he rewards that. Amen. Amen. And the diligent seeker, is it in the King James? Maybe it's in Hebrews 11, that God, he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He rewards. The thing about faith is that faith really is made up of two components. Okay. I'm not preaching about faith. I'm just talking about faith. So I'm not on the clock yet for preaching. Okay. And the church said, amen. Okay, so I'm not on the clock yet. We're just getting acquainted, you know, that's all. And so faith has two components to faith. The first component of faith is the subject of your faith. That faith has to have a subject. What is the subject? The subject is the thing you're believing God for. Okay, are you okay? So you know, if you're here and you have, you know, an unbelieving son or daughter, and you're petitioning God, you're believing God for that child to come to faith, or whatever the situation is, that's the subject of your faith. Are you with me? The second component of faith is that faith has to have an object, and the object of our faith is God himself. Are you here? Yes. So my faith has a subject, but more importantly, most importantly, my faith has an object, and he is the object of my faith. Now, anybody waiting on God to do something for you, do something in your life, keep a promise, something he said, come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. Ain't about six hands up. All of y'all got everything you believe in God for? I don't believe that. Yeah. Well, this is just me, okay? I don't have to come back. But I'm here and you got me, okay? Yeah. What happens to me when I grow impatient in my waiting for God to fulfill the subject is I place more emphasis and more focus on the subject than I do the object. That's called the birthplace of impatience. Oh boy, I'm preaching good. Are you here? That is the birthplace of impatience. And then Isaiah has to come back and say, they that wait upon the Lord. Yeah, y'all remember where Isaiah said that, right? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. And waiting is not, you know, your arms folded and you're humming the theme to Jeopardy, right? No, that's not waiting. That's not how we wait. Waiting in the Hebrew, the definition of that word in the Hebrew, it is an active word. I'm not sitting around with my arms folded, my legs crossed, and any day now, any moment now. It doesn't matter when he does it. I know he's going to do it, so I don't have to focus there. I can focus on the object and not the subject. And so I wait like a waiter. I serve. I serve him. I honor him. I magnify him. I worship him. Oh, boy, is this getting through. Are you okay? Yeah. And so when I focus on the thing I want more than on the one who is the giver, it gives birth to impatience. Anybody impatient in your waiting? Yeah, then you need to check your focus. Look at somebody say, check your focus. Yeah, you need to refocus. I'm preaching good, y'all. Yeah, you're looking at me. Now I feel like David, right? And I just have to encourage myself in the Lord. Yeah, there's a subject. There has to be a subject, but without an object, you can forget the subject. Unless I maintain my focus on him, you can forget the stuff. God is saying to us, listen, seek my face, seek my heart, not my hand. Not my hand. Amen? Yeah, if we draw nigh to him and grow in relationship with him, like the best father of all, there is no way that he would hold any good thing. He would withhold any good thing from you. Are you here? Yeah, that's really good. Okay. And so anyway, when Pastor shared that, it just stirred in my spirit. And since I had a chance to get up, I thought I'd release it. Yeah, when you get up, you could release something, but yeah, it's great to be here. I'm on the clock now. I'm official. And I want to share a word with you. Now, I brought my Bible. Don't panic if you don't see me open it, okay? Because I do have some scriptures on my device, right? On the tablet. Now, I know what God said to Joshua, right? You know, this book of the law. I know he said that. But this tablet works pretty well, too. I've got the word on it. So, you know, we're all good. We're good. You don't have to panic. Here's what I want to talk to you about, New Hope. I don't even know why. How did I have New Hope confused with a Grace something? There are a lot of churches. Grace, I had, yeah. You guys, that was, yeah. That's why. Okay, that makes sense now. Because Scott and I have been friends a long time. But anyway, and I just, you know, can I just tell you something? There is a grace on this house. That's why when I think of you, I'm overwhelmed with grace. That word, that's a sense of grace, the grace of God. The Greek word there is charis. Charis is C-H-R, but in the Hebrew it's pronounced charis is the Greek word. And it not only does it mean the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God, but it is also the divine enablement of God. That God has divinely enabled you, divinely equipped you. Amen. You ought to get happy about that. I know that's not your name, Grace. I know it's not. But the grace of the Lord is on you. Sometimes it's hard to wrap your mind around it. But, you know, my mom would say, let your mouth talk your heart into it. Whenever she would tell me to do something and I didn't want to do it. And, you know, it was either do it or wake up next week, because she was going to knock me into the middle of next week. She said, listen, you better let your mouth talk your heart into it before I get over there, right? Yeah. Okay, that's old school. That's how I was raised, and I didn't turn out so bad, and it wasn't abusive, okay? Amen. Yeah. The grace of God rests upon you, and it's not just to gather. It's not just to huddle and cuddle. It's not just to come and have great worship. Worship team, wow, thank you. Wonderful, wonderful. I heard Bishop Joe Garlington say the other night that he goes places and he travels with a musician, and they'll often say, boy, there's nothing like good worship. And at the end of many services, they're leaving and they say, yeah, that wasn't good worship. But this was good worship today. Thank you. Thank you. You don't go everywhere and get ushered into the presence of the Lord. There are some places that we go. If we don't bring them, yeah, that was good worship. Thank you. There's grace on you, and it's for more than just good worship. The grace of God is on you. The favor of the Lord is on you. Here, I'll make the connection now, and grace in many places in the New Testament, where you see the word grace, you can almost use the word favor. In nearly every place you see the word grace, you can use the word favor. That the favor of the Lord is on. Favor, it's not just that favor, you know, we would say favor ain't fair. Excuse the bad grammar. Favor ain't fair. It's not just that. Favor is always connected to assignment. Yeah. Oh boy, that's really good. Yeah. Favor is always linked to, always connected to assignment. When that's one of the ways, one of the telltale signs that you know you're on assignment from God, when there's favor. My uncle, and Scott knows my uncle, Bishop William Dockery, you know, we would travel. I had the pleasure, this through the decade of the 90s, I traveled with my uncle everywhere. The only place we didn't travel together was overseas. My first trip overseas wasn't until 2000, and really been going ever since. But I would travel, literally the decade of the 90s, we traveled together. And my uncle, we would all, at the airport, you go to the ticket counter, everybody walk up there. Now everybody's got a ticket for coach. Say amen. Yeah, we're not big ballers. I mean, you know, yeah, don't confuse me with Creflo Dollar at all. You know, your own jet and that kind of thing. No, say coach. That's how we fly. And so we all have a ticket, coach, right? We all walk up to the ticket agent together, and they look at him and bump him to first class every time. Say every time. Every time. And he is only about this tall, little dude. I'm like, look at me. I need the room. Look at these legs. I need the room. Nope. We'll walk up there and they will bump him to first class. It was ridiculous. It got so we would just sit, just go on up there, get your seat in first class, and we'll wait back here with the little people. You know, it's just that was our attitude. It happened but after every flight, we would meet up and get off the plane, and he would say, Man, the Lord had this man I was sitting next to, and God just, man, I had to minister to that man. It's just like I sat down, and God, the heavens opened up, and I received a divine download about this man's life, this man or this woman or this whomever, and I just shared from the word of the Lord. But the favor is always connected to assignment, and the favor of the Lord rests on this house, and I want to talk to you about an assignment. I want to talk to you about yours. Well, Pastor Bill, I don't know what it is. You'll figure it out. You'll find it out. I love Dr. Chuck Swindoll. He did a teaching on spiritual gifts and serving in the body of Christ. And he said, listen, first of all, you can't break the church. Say amen. You can't break it. It's break proof. Jesus said, it's mine. I build it, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. If the gates of hell can't prevail against the church, I'm here to serve notice on you. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You can't hurt it. You can't break it. You can stand against it if you want. You can try that. That's been tried. Say amen to that. I got some folks at home trying that. I'm like, stand if you want to. Stand as long as you can. But when Jesus says that's enough, you got to move. It's not about me. You're not standing against leadership. You're standing against the will and the purposes of God. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. You can't break the church. And so you can get over here and try. I have a sister. My sister is on our worship team. She leads our worship team. And whoa, what a gift to the body of Christ. Anita, wow. Unbelievable. And that's just where she fits. And there's some other places that God has used her, but not in children's ministry. We don't let my sister go near the kids. My sister has grandchildren. And she's good with hers. Yeah. Whatever. I know y'all don't have anybody like that here. Okay. I know. Pray for us in Buffalo. That's New Bethel Community Church, 175 Inglewood Avenue. Yeah, we have folks like that. It's like, hey, you were great here. Don't go over there. Amen. Or you're just going to mess that up. And my sister will be the first to tell you, I'll serve anywhere you want, except in children's ministry. And we say, thank you. Because she knows. But Dr. Swindoll says, get in and try it. See if it fits. You're not going to break the church. And when somebody gently comes alongside you and escorts you out of that ministry into another ministry room, don't get discouraged. Don't be upset. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I found out what doesn't work. I found out what I'm not called to. Y'all ain't saying nothing, I'm telling you. Oh, this is good stuff. The grace of God is on you for that purpose. The grace of God is on you for this city. The grace of God is on you for this. You are not here just to be another church here. You're not. Get that out your mind. You have to function differently. Lord, I need a shift. I need a shift. We did a conference call with some of our leaders the other night and had them on a line. And I don't know, we were talking about something, some things we needed to, you know, we needed to tweak culturally. Now, when I say culturally, I don't mean African-American. Because we're not just an African-American church, right? We're multicultural. But when I mean culture, I mean our house, our church. This church has a culture. Your home has a culture, right? By definition, culture is the convergence of what you believe, right? Come on. What you know and what you do. By definition, that's a loose definition of culture, but culture really is the integration of knowledge, belief, and doing. By definition, that's culture. Every place you go has a culture. You as an individual have a culture. And so you think about the house, you think about this church, you have a culture. And so what I was saying to our leaders is, hey, we need to make a little bit of a shift in our culture. And I said, if you can just move a little bit, what it will mean in the church is a mega shift. A little scooch can give birth to a mega shift. Boy, I'm preaching good. I wonder if you're getting this. Is anybody else feeling this? I'm feeling this. Is anybody else? Just a little shift can reverberate in this house and through this house and through the community and through Potsdam. But you gotta be willing to just move a little bit. Sometimes we dig our heels in. No. We're not gonna change that. The famous last words of a dying church. We never used to do it that way. I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes. Right here, my dad would say, get him out of the aisle. I promise. I'm going to read a scripture now. Okay. Here's what I want to read. Acts 17. Oh, boy. Acts 17. You better leave me alone. I'll throw this thing as far. No, this is an Invicta. I won't throw it. I will walk it across the room and gently lay it down. But I will take it off. I'm not playing. Acts 17. Okay, come on now. If y'all stop there, I can get through this. Yeah. I'm like Adam. You know, they got all messed up. Adam said, it was that woman you gave me, you know? And I'm like, Lord, it's these people. Acts 17:26, it says, and he made from every man, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. That's Acts 17:26. A couple words that I want to land on just briefly. One, it talks about an allotted time or an allotted period. That word in the Greek language is kairos. If you live to be 100 years old, all you've done is lived a moment on the timeline of eternity. You have lived a kairos moment on the timeline of eternity. That's all it is. 90 years old, 110, whatever. You insert the number. All it is a kairos moment. But God has given you this kairos moment, and he set you right here, right now. So all of you who have been gripped by the spirit of escapism, you better pray before you leave. And you said, well, Pastor Bill, you don't know about the winters here. Well, I've seen enough. I've seen enough to know that this is not the place that God has given me to be. Amen. I've seen enough to know that. But you, on the other hand, is this your place? This is your time. How do I know it's your time? Because you're here. You're alive. Look at somebody and tell them, say, I am alive. I ain't said nothing the whole service. I ain't raised my hands. I ain't said amen. I ain't said boo, cat, dog, nothing. But I am alive. I see your chest moving. You're breathing. Yeah, yeah. This is your moment. And God is saying to you, New Hope, seize your moment. Seize it. Step into it. Just step into it and say, God, listen, whatever it is you have for me in this moment, in this kairos moment, whatever it is you have, wherever it is you want me to, whatever it is you want me to do, whomever you want me to impact, my life on theirs, Lord, I'm yours. I'm available to you. Seize your moment. One of the things I think that the church struggles from is passivity. And I'm kind of aggressive anyway. Not by nature. But baby, am I aggressive? No. And so in time of prayer, please pray for me about, I am not an aggressive driver. Lord, it was the woman you gave me. That's what it was. And the moral of that story is, don't ask your wife anything while you're up here, okay? Woo. Okay, I just thought I was getting there. But anyway, by nature, you know, I'm an ex-athlete. I'm no longer an athlete, but I am an ex-athlete. I played a lot of ball, a lot of basketball, grammar school, junior high school, college. And I played, you know, like A1 rec league ball till I was about 45 years old. And then my knees just gave out. Just couldn't do it anymore. In the right setting, boy, oh boy, I will just knock you down. Now, I'm going to come back after I score and help you up. But I am going to knock you down. You know, the setting, the situation has to be right. Say amen to that. Yeah, there's just this aggressive thing about me in competition. I don't even play games at the house with the kid. All my kids are adults, and I have two grandsons, 5 and 2. And, you know, we do these gatherings, and we get together, and we'll play board games. And they say, Dad, you going to play? I'm, mm-mm. Why you want to play? I said, because if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Do I need prayer? Yes. Who doesn't? Yes, I need it. Pray for me, amen. But I want to win. You'll knock down children, knock them down. You ain't big enough to be in the game, stay on the sideline. But if you in the game, no blood, no, come on. There's this aggressive thing about me. One of the things that the church suffers from is we're too passive. As it relates to the things of God and moving in the spirit of God, moving in the things of God, we're just, well, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree. And God want to uproot you and shake the dirt off your roots and throw you somewhere. Because for many of us, that's almost what has to happen for us to do anything on behalf of God. We think that this is it, you know. Like a tree planted by the water. You know, if he wants me to move, he'll move me. You better quit saying that. Because he's the God who can move you. He's the God who can move you. And he's saying to us, hear the word of the Lord, sense my spirit and do something before I have to come and do something. Yes. We're way too passive. We're way too passive. There's a community that's waiting for you, looking for you, needing you. I have to go. Okay, I'm going to skip some stuff. Not because I really want to, but I need to. I need to. Here's the thing. Listen to the statement now. Listen. For every earthly problem, there is a kingdom solution. I thought this was a Bible-believing church. It seemed like I would have got more amens than that, but it's okay. We don't preach for amens. We don't preach by amens, right? For every earthly problem, there is a kingdom solution. Now, listen to the prayer. Listen to the prayer. Matthew 6:10. I won't go there. We got some wonderful note takers. She ain't looked up yet. She just been writing the whole time. That was dirty, wasn't it? That's brought to you by Bill Clark. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 10. Here's the prayer. Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. Now, he didn't intrude on them and say, come on, gather around, boys. I'm going to teach you how to pray. No, they stopped him. They said, Master, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. His lifestyle was prayer. Jesus would always separate. He would always get away from them and spend all night prayer meeting. Jesus, if Jesus, the living Son of the living God, had to pray and pray all night, why is your prayer life so weak? Why are we so hot and cold and in and out and off and on as it relates to prayer? Jesus had to pray. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:10, he said, in the prayer now, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? Now, I have a Hebraist friend, guy we get together with when we were in Israel, and one of the things he said about that prayer, he says, when I pray that prayer, he is messianic. He says, but when I pray that prayer, and really in the Jewish custom, you know, there are not a lot of things orthodox from the New Testament that they won't even go near, right? But he says, when that prayer is prayed, what we pray, we don't pray on earth, we pray in earth. And I said, Steve, what do you mean? He said, Bill, I'm made of earth. From the dust thou art, and we're, right? And a dust, where are you going back, right? And he says, so the first place that I want the kingdom to come is in this patch of earth right here. This piece of dirt right here. Would you do me a favor? I don't know how many of you are going to do it, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. Take your two hands and put them on your patch of land. Yeah. That's where the kingdom has to come first, right here. That's where it's got to come first. Right here. And Jesus, when Jesus came, he said, I got good news for you. And everybody said, what? What is it? Jesus said, the kingdom is coming. A little while later, he said, the kingdom is near you. And then Jesus said, the kingdom is where? In you. Whoa, that's a great three-part message, boy. If Jesus can preach it, I believe I want to preach that one. It's coming, it's near, it's in you. It's in you. The kingdom has to come here. And when the kingdom comes here, it comes and it is coming. The kingdom has manifested and it is being manifested. It is both and. It's not either or. Are you good? Yeah. Oh, boy. That's good. Because the kingdom is so much, we never get it all. We can never. That's why, you know, it talks about the millennial reign. We will need 1,000 years just to scratch the surface. We'll need that long. Oh, boy, I'm sorry. I don't want to mess with anybody's eschatology. For every earthly problem, there is a kingdom solution. Now, I'm closing. Here it is. Could it be that God has laid his hand on you for such a time as this? Could you actually be carrying the solution to some problem in the earth today? Well, just do a Selah on that. Just think about that. He said, well, Pastor Bill, you know, you really don't know my background. I don't need to know your background. I need to know whose ground you're standing on. I need to know who's standing in you. I need to know if you're in Christ. A couple verses later, in Acts 17, maybe it's 17, 28, 27 or 28, Paul says, in him we live, move, and have our being. He's speaking to the Athenians. And you know, I didn't do any hermeneutical work on the text. You can do that, right? You don't know hermeneutical, Google it. You can do it, okay? Listen, so I didn't do any work on that. I lifted a principle and I started running. Please don't misunderstand that I don't know about hermeneutics and, you know, good sound exegetical stuff, okay? Say amen. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Paul says, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Everybody say, in him. In him. That's where it's at, in him. In him, in Jesus. It's, if you don't take anything else away, take that away, in him. Let that be your mantra. If you're going to have a mantra, repeat that, in him, in him, in him. Paul said to the Colossians, he said, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It was pleased to dwell in him. In the King James, it says that the fullness of God the Father, the fullness of God the Son, the fullness of God the Holy Spirit dwelt in Jesus. All of that is in him. And don't forget me, in him. Don't you miss that. All of that and you. And so look at what you get to glean from. Look at what you have available to you. Look at what you have access to. Where? In him. You can seize your moment, but the only way you're going to do it is you can be the solution to some problem around you, but the only way you can do it is in Esther chapter 4. Yeah, you remember the story, right? Haman and his plot, and Mordecai uncovers that thing, and Mordecai took a stand against the enemy. You're gonna have to take a stand against the enemy. You're going to have to do it. And Paul said, and having done all to stand, keep on standing. But be dressed to stand, right? Talked about having your feet shod and the preparation of the gospel. Y'all know the story, Ephesians chapter 6. Y'all know that one, right? And so that's how you stand. That's how you're able to withstand against the things of the enemy. But you are absolutely going to have to take a stand. And so Mordecai took a stand. And then he realized that the only way that Israel was going to have deliverance is that if somebody went to the king. And so he contacted his niece. And there was Esther in the king's palace, the queen, one of anyway. And you know, he got word to her. He said, listen, you're going to have to go and you're going to have to talk to her. She said, I can't go to the king unless the king calls for me. Right? Am I? You, yeah. Yeah. And so Mordecai says to her, okay, but don't think that because you're in the palace that what happens to Israel won't happen to you. You're an Israelite too. Don't think that the palace is going to save you from the rest of our plight. He asks her a question. He said, could it be that God has called you to the kingdom for such a time as this, for this Kairos moment? You're the queen for this moment. You're here in Potsdam for this moment. For the sake of argument, we're all named Esther. Boy, I'm preaching good. Come on. For the sake of argument, we're all named. Yes, 6 feet tall, 250 pounds, a little overweight, but I'm working on it. Okay? You can call me Esther. Because I've been called to the kingdom for this moment, for this one. And he said, listen here, baby girl, you got to do something. And Esther was worried about it, but she said, listen, okay, get everybody you know praying. I like that. Everybody got to pray. He said, get everybody, call everybody. You know, even the folks ain't been to church in 6 weeks, track them down. Everybody's got to pray. For every earthly problem, there's a kingdom solution. And I'm looking at solutions. Did that get you? I'm looking at solutions. I'm looking at kingdom solutions. How you doing? I'm about to leave you go now. One last example. I love this guy. Moses in Exodus chapter. You know, before I go to Moses, you know, when you don't have hair, see, all the people with hair laugh. You wrong, dude. That's wrong. All the people with hair just kind of, one of the things I just kind of, you know, because I don't have hair, I just say, hair is overrated. But, you know, when you sweat and that kind of hair comes in handy, and I don't have none, I miss hair. But anyway, I digress. See, there you go, wandering again. If you all would stay right here, I would have been done 10 minutes ago, but y'all wander too much. Moses, I love Moses. Exodus chapters 3 and 4, right? Right? In Exodus 3, Moses sees the burning bush, right? One commentator said he saw it going to work in the morning, and on the way home from work in the evening, the same bush was burning. And he said, it's not consumed. Let me go see what's going on with this bush. And he gets there, and God speaks to him out of the bush. Don't make God set something on fire to get your attention.
Boy, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Why is it that God has to turn our lives upside down and inside out before we recognize that he wants some time with us?
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah. And God speaks to him, and, you know, let him take your shoes off. And begins to declare to Moses what he wants him to do. And in the fashion of a man who has not recognized either his time or his place, he begins to give excuses to God. When you recognize your time and you recognize your place, you're more apt to say, yes, Lord. Now, it's not like you say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. No, I've not done that, no. But I do recognize my time, and I recognize my place. And so, you know, I said, really, Lord? Is that what you want? Really, is that where you want me to go? Is that what you want me to do? Really? And God, well, for me now, he'll seem to tolerate about 2 or maybe 3 reallys. And then after that, I smell smoke. Yank. I can't get no witness. Something burning? and that's God saying, what do you want? You want 1 alarm fire, 2 alarm, 3 alarm? What do you want? And then I throw my hands up. Yes, Lord. Not Moses. I can't do that. I can't do that. If I go to the Israelites, now, first of all, they don't hardly know me. I've been watching my father-in-law's sheep. In the King James Version, it says on the backside of the desert. I'm in the desert. Why I got to be on the backside? That's just like some kind of redundant kind of punishment type thing or whatever. And sometimes in our place of obscurity, which is really a place of preparation, we think that God is messing with us. And he is. He's preparing you for your assignment. St. John 15, 16, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, I've chosen you. And with some translations, it says, and I've appointed. In the King James, it says, I've ordained. That word translates, I've given you an assignment. I've called you to something. You didn't come running, oh, Jesus, I need you. No, he laid his hand on you, and he woke you up to the fact that he is Lord Supreme. He woke you up to the fact that without him, you can do nothing. I chose you, he said, and I've assigned you. Said to Jeremiah, I've ordained you. I've assigned you. I sanctified you. I set you apart for a specific use. It's your assignment. Man of God, you have an assignment. Woman of God, you have an assignment. Moses said, I can't go. Who would I even say sent me? We always looking for some kind of validation and or accreditation, that kind of thing. And listen, when the time is right, God will provide it. But the first step is, will you obey? Will you obey? God told Moses, when you get there, tell them I am. That's who sent you. I am. They'll know. They'll recognize. You tell them, I am. And then Moses said, okay, well, all right. I really don't want to go, God, but okay. And then Egypt, I can't go to. Do you remember what happened 40 years ago? Do you remember? Now, Moses is asking God, do you remember I killed a man? Actually, I'm a fugitive. I'm evading Egyptian law. You know whose house I grew up in? You ask, why do we ask God if he knows something? Things that make you go, you know the word omniscient means? To all-knowing? And then we ask him, do you know? I say, yeah, I know all about that, but you're going. When you get there, say this. And Moses said, oh, by the way, you know I have this speech impediment. I'm not eloquent. And Moses, like us, Moses didn't have the benefit of Google. You know, you track a dictionary and you can learn a new word every day. Every day. And increase your vocabulary. I'm really trying to help. And, you know, yeah. And God said to him, okay, I'll be your mouth. Wait, stop. God says, I will be your mouth. Good deal, right? I mean, that means nothing stupid will come out for the sake of our time together. Stupid is a theological term, so don't be mad when we get out of service. Okay. Nothing goofy will come out. I'll get it right all the time. I'll get it right the first time. How many conversations? My wife of 35 years, we have had conversations, and I'll say something, and I got to come back. Babe, that didn't come out right. I'm sorry. That God wasn't with my mouth. That was all Bill. Yeah, I go, say amen. You got to be a husband to get that one. And all the wives said, yeah. Yeah. He said, I'll speak for you. You open your mouth, I'll come out, Moses. It's not in the Bible, but the old folks would say, if you make one step, come on, somebody from the old school, praise the Lord, brother. It's not in the Bible, but that'll preach. James said it like this. If we draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto us. And he won't leave you swinging in the breeze. But you have to recognize your time and your place and be willing to step in. New Hope, are you willing to step in? Are you willing to step in? Finally, Moses said, yes, I close. Deuteronomy 34:10. Make a note of this verse, please. Deuteronomy 34:10. Listen to the testimony of Moses' life, okay? And there was not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This guy was kicking and screaming. He was fighting tooth and nail. Look what a yes will produce. Oh, that's good. Look at what a yes will produce.
issue this morning.
Still mourning.
Still mourning. Is will you say yes? Will you say yes to God? Will you recognize this as your Kairos moment? Will you recognize this as your place? Not Charlotte, not Atlanta, not Florida, not Barbados. That's personal. You can ask me about that later. That's personal. No, I'm going to tell you. I ask, I say, Lord, please can I plant a church in Barbados? Please can I plant a church? Please. He said, no, because you turn into a beach bum. No. He knows me so well. And I would say, no, I won't, Lord. No, I won't. No, I won't. He said, you're not going to Barbados, brother. And I said, well, let me go to Central Florida, and I'll plant there. And he said, no, you like to play golf too much. Nope. Myrtle Beach, nope. Here I am in the frozen tundra. 5 days of summer. You ever played golf with mittens on? I have. Not cool. God wants a yes from you. Nothing will begin to happen as it relates to your kingdom purpose until you say yes to Him. Nothing will change in your life or your world, nor the lives and the worlds around you until you say yes. Moses was the answer, was God's answer to a whole nation's cry, and he didn't even know it. A whole nation crying for 400 plus years, and Moses was the answer, and he didn't even know it. I told you, for every earthly problem, there is a kingdom, and the church said, I'm looking at solutions. I'm looking at solutions. I'm looking at solutions. Okay, my preaching time is up. I really had one more passage that I wanted to read. I won't read it. I'll just tell you about it. Mark's gospel, Mark 16, 15, you know, Jesus, it's Mark's interpretation of the Great Commission, and, you know, go, you know, preach, teach, baptize. And then later Mark records Jesus as saying, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Men and women who recognize their moment and say, yes, God, and just acquiesce to the place. If it's Potsdam, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If it's Buffalo, hallelujah. And then we believe God like that. The scripture said that there will be signs and wonders that follow us. St. John, I said I was quitting, but I am. I'm not reading anything. St. John chapter 7, maybe it's verse 37, 35, 36, 37. Jesus was standing on the temple steps. It was the last day of the great feast, and he had a cup of water, and he took it and he poured it out as a drink offering. And Jesus declared this, he that believes on me, as the scriptures have said it, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's something that's supposed to flow out of you. Back in the day, I've been in church all my life. The old folks, the saints, used to sing this song. It said, there is a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison's doors and sets the captive free. There is a river of life flowing out of me. There's a river of life in you. There's, and Ezekiel said, wherever the river flows, there will be life. You need to turn that life loose on some problems. Okay, does this make any sense? Okay,
I'm done. Can the worship team come back all or in some subset, whatever you want, however you want to do. I'll leave that. I'll give the worship team that liberty to do that. But I do want them to come back. And I want to take just a few minutes. I went over my preaching time, but I blame that on you. Okay. And that's just, when you're the speaker, you can blame the audience. You can blame the audience. I'm not blaming the Lord because I ain't going to get in trouble with him. But you, I'm okay. I blame you. I blame you for going over. What I want to do, I'm going to ask my wife to come. This Tony's probably a better preacher than me and really powerful in the things of God. And my friend and my wife and my partner. And I praise God for her and her gifting, her anointing, what she brings. I try not to go into any meetings without her. She's my balance. Say amen to that. Yeah, she really is my balance. And she carries wisdom and anointing. And I'm honored that she's here and we get to serve the body of Christ together. I'm gonna ask, as the worship team plays and you're here, and this resonated with you, I want you to come. We want to agree with you in faith. We want to pray with you, pray for you. And not long, we're not praying long prayers. Say amen to that. You know, 7-minute prayer each person, you know. And we're here overnight, you know. And man, it could snow in the morning, so I'm getting... I'm on the road, you know what I mean? But we do want to pray for you. New Hope, there's grace on you. There's grace on you. The favor of the Lord is on you, but favor is connected to... Without assignment, there's no need for favor. Nehemiah was on assignment, and look at the favor he got. Come on. Without assignment, there's no need for favor. So the favor of the Lord is on you, and we want you to just let's just step in it. Let's seize this moment. Amen.